Chapter 7. The Leadership Principle. There should be no great mystery as to the meaning of the leadership principle. It is as simple as it sounds. Yet thanks to all the brain pollution we have been deluged with about democracy, our great republic, and other deceptive clichés, the average American is completely confused about this term. The leadership principle is older than civilization itself and goes back to the very beginning of mankind's organized tribal society. It is as modern as General Motors, the Bell Telephone Company, and IBM. The first tribal organization used the leadership principle, and the above-mentioned industrial giants use it today. It means simply organized society, having a leader at its head to lead, direct, and plan the best interests of the whole group. Such leader has authority to command, and on the other hand, must also be totally responsible to the group. A perfect example of the leadership principle is the Kehillah, the Jewish master organization described in a previous chapter. At the head is the prince or the sponsor. He has 7 powerful Jews under him who take orders from him and pass them down the chain of command to the 7 subordinates each has under him. This is repeated in 7 echelons, until there are 824,543 subordinates at the lowest level, each supervised and carrying out orders from their immediate superior. In short order, the idea and the command from the highest leader is transmitted throughout the organization to its lowest level. The army is organized the same way. Starting with the command-in-chief, there is a chain of command through the generals, to the colonels, etc., down to the lowest private. Through such a chain of command, there is unity of purpose. There is a rapid execution of orders, and therein is exemplified the most efficient and effective organization devised by man. Let us speculate for a moment about the relative merits of 2 armies, one organized under the above efficient leadership principle and the other under democratic principles. Let us suppose the sergeants of the latter put it to a vote to each of their companies as to what action they should take. "Boys," he might say, "should we go over the top and engage the enemy, or should we go on a picnic?" Can you imagine what a useless mob such an army would become? Doubtlessly, they would be slaughtered by the enemy, who employed the leadership principle. It is the same way with a ship of state, or any other organization that departs from this time-proven principle. The Jew espouses democracy in glowing terms and deceives us that we are governing ourselves. All the while, he knows what a treacherous game he is playing. Skillfully, he uses his fraud to divide, confuse, and conquer the white man for his own gain and our detriment. When it comes to his own organizations, he full well knows better, and resorts to the leadership principle, as in the Kahilla. We have been so terribly confused by Jewish propaganda that the leadership principle is synonymous with tyranny, and all dictatorships are tyrannies. They point to Adolf Hitler, begin frothing at the mouth about what a terrible man he was. As we have seen in a previous chapter, this was one of the biggest hoaxes perpetrated upon the white man since Christianity confounded and confused the Romans nearly 2,000 years ago. Actually, Adolf Hitler, ruling under the leadership principle, provided the German people with the most constructive, most benevolent, and most beloved, and most popular government the German people ever had. They had a higher standard of living, had more freedom, and were happier than they ever were under any democracy. History shows that leaders who are of their own people, in contrast to some traitor fronting for an alien race, are most often dedicated to their people. When Rome changed from the republican form of government to the emperor system, they enjoyed the longest span of peace and prosperity the world has ever known, from Emperor Augustus's reign through the next 2 centuries, was known as Pax Romana, Roman peace, a period of continuous peace and prosperity never again equaled. Unfortunately, not all the Roman emperors were good men. The trouble was, as it is today, the Jew was there in the background, manipulating the intrigues of the court. Nero had a Jewish wife named Poppaea, and so it went. Nevertheless, with all the weaknesses of some of the Roman emperors, most of them were good men. Rome fared better under the empire than she did under the republic, until Christianity took over and destroyed Rome. What Rome needed and did not have was twofold. A. She needed a racial religion that would have completely immunized her from the Jew. And B. She needed an orderly program of succession. The latter is not really too difficult to come by, and the Jews themselves suggest the format for their King of the Jews in Protocol number 24. He will be well trained, carefully selected by the elders who decide the line of succession. Such a format, or a similar one, makes sense. Determining the line of succession is by no means an insurmountable problem, as we have so often been told by the Jews themselves. As the protocols show, they are masters at employing the effective leadership principle for themselves, but work feverishly at preventing the white race from having any leadership of its own. It is my conclusion that history has shown, from time immemorial, that the leadership principle is by far the best and most effective organization, not only for government, but also every other type of organization. This whole business of democratic government was invented by the Jews. It results in mob rule, with the mobs being steered by Jewish propaganda and trickery. It results in bickering, in stalemate, in waste, in cowardice, and paralysis. People need leaders at their head, not followers who try to appease those that elected them. We can learn something further from the Jews when they say in Protocol number 10 that programs must be directed from one central mind. If a plan is split into fractional parts from the minds of the many, it leaves a confused conglomeration. In this they are right, as experience has proven. In summary, what the white race desperately needs today, as it will in the future, are real leaders, imbued with the creativity religion, which holds that the good of the white race is the highest virtue both leaders and followers will want to combine in pursuing the same constructive path. Organized, united, and with a constructive creed and program in its possession, nothing can stop the white race from reaching the highest pinnacle of success. Organized and united, the white race is 10 times more powerful than the rest of the world combined. It is the objective of this book to supply the white race with the necessary programs and the fighting creed to accomplish what we must, to populate all the good land on the face of this earth. Let all the good leaders of our great race now come forth and organize in their areas. From such beginnings will come the great leaders of our race, leaders who will free us from the Jewish yoke and then lead us ever onward to ever higher plateaus of accomplishment and excellence.